Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
None of those guys. Seth Dunlap in with you today for the next 4 hours here on Sports Talk on Twitter at Seth Dunlap. And we got a big show for you. Lots of Saints to talk about today. In fact, Mike Dettillier, our NFL and college football expert, he's going to be in for an entire hour from 5 to 6 p.m. We're going to talk Manning Passing Academy that comes up this weekend. And a lot of Saints, Michael Thomas contract, depth on this Saints team, strengths and weaknesses. It's hour two, 5 to 6 p.m. It's Mike D here on Sports Talk. Also, Scotty Alexander in for a half hour, 6 to 6:30. We'll dive deep on the Pelicans as they approach free agency. And one of the crazier midday breaking news items that I've seen recently, and I kind of like it, was that the NBA are in discussions for possibly truncating the season. This would start in 2021, and then adding a mid-season tournament to their schedule. This would address the old load management that everybody's been talking about. Players, lots of stars needing to take nights off, multiple nights off throughout the season because they feel, you know, they're playing too much. Whether you believe that or think maybe it's just, maybe a little lot to do about nothing with the playing time. We'll get into that in hour number two. And also the College World Series, the decider tonight, Michigan and Vanderbilt playing in the rubber match game three. Vandy winning yesterday, Michigan winning game one. So you'll have a College World Series champion crowned tonight. Got to think Vandy's pretty heavy favorite in this game, especially considering the injury that Michigan suffered yesterday. Phone lines the entire first hour open for you. We opened it up. I didn't book a guest because I'm going to want you to sound off on the big topic of the summer for the Saints, and that's what exactly that they're going to do with Michael Thomas. Certainly sounds like they are going to re-sign Michael Thomas. I don't really think anybody expects anything otherwise, but got to get into whether that's a wise business decision from a Saints perspective or not. Phone lines, as always, area code 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. And our text line is 870-870. Mark Menard's behind the glass. So we told you yesterday, a couple of days ago, that Michael Thomas, it was reported, is now seeking $22 million from the Saints. $22 million a year. That would shatter the previous high for a receiver in the NFL set by, well, Odell Beckham Jr. last year, who's making $18.5 million. $60 million guaranteed. Now, I've said it many times before, and I maintain that Michael Thomas deserves, from his perspective, from Michael Thomas's perspective and those around him, he deserves to be the highest paid receiver in the game. When he sees guys like Odell Beckham Jr. getting paid that much, Julio Jones right behind him, well, Michael Thomas has been outproducing them on the field the last few seasons, and frankly, it's not even close. I know there's this debate about who the best receiver in the game is. Well, if you just look at the numbers, the best receiver in the game is Michael Thomas, maybe DeAndre Hopkins. It's those two. And I don't really think you can argue otherwise. Talent-wise, Michael Thomas is there. And I guess the projections, you had this NFL Network best wide receiver poll that they pitched to the fans last week, and Michael Thomas didn't even make the top four of that. It was a little bizarre. So the fan perspective and the reality of what Michael Thomas is on the field don't match. Now, they do here in New Orleans. I don't think they match nationally. So I wanted to get that out of the way first, because when I get into this conversation, and I think a lot of you are going to disagree with me on this, I don't want it to be confused that I think Michael Thomas doesn't deserve the money that he wants. I do think that he should try to get as much money as he can extract in a new contract, considering how well he's played on the field. I mean, that's just the reality of this. However, from a Saints perspective, from a business perspective, I got to tell you, I don't think it's a shrewd business decision for the Saints to put 10, 11, 12% of their salary cap into one wide receiver. It just has never worked before in the NFL. And in fact, when teams have done that before, we've seen things come crashing down pretty darn quickly. It just has happened. No highest paid receiver in league history since the salary cap era has ever won a Super Bowl. Only one ever has even made the Super Bowl. That was Julio Jones a couple of years ago. It's not like there's this long track record of, well, you just pay these guys what you want and then you're going to have big time success on the field. This position is highly dependent on everybody around them in the offense. Again, I'm not diminishing what Michael Thomas has done, and I don't think Michael Thomas's production is just a product of Drew Brees for as fantastic as he is. I mean, we've never seen a wide receiver this productive in New Orleans as Michael Thomas has been, and Drew Brees has had some really good receivers. But if you're any organization, whether that's an NFL team, whether that's a radio station, whether that's a sales force, whether that's a fast food restaurant, whether that's a restaurant down here in the quarter, a club, throwing those kind of resources at one person who is highly, highly dependent on everybody around him to be good doesn't really make a lot of sense. I'm just telling you, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, from a Saints perspective, again, this is also a lose-lose. This is why I used the term yesterday. I don't really see a win coming out of this for them. Because if they don't re-sign Michael Thomas, I guarantee you what's going to happen. We're going to have these call screens all lit up. We'll have eight callers for 2 weeks on this program saying, what a terrible decision by the Saints. How could they let this guy get away? This is the best receiver in franchise history, a guy that's beloved by the fans, a guy who seems like he really loves the city of New Orleans. But I know Mickey Loomis knows this. I know Sean Payton knows this, that the history of paying wide receivers that kind of money, it just hasn't worked. It just hasn't worked. Maybe Michael Thomas and the Saints will be the first one to disprove this notion. Perhaps that'll happen. But I got to think it won't, especially when you consider Drew Brees is on his way off into the sunset, whether that's this year, next year, or a couple years down the road. You could have a $20 million receiver catching passes from a quarterback who hasn't started a game, a meaningful game in the NFL either ever or in multiple years, ever in the case of Taysom Hill, multiple years if it's Teddy Bridgewater. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I've said that before. But he's not Drew Brees. You think Michael Thomas is going to catch 100 passes a year from Teddy Bridgewater? Day one, seamless transition? I don't think so. The writing's on the wall here. I'm not debating what the Saints are going to do. The Saints, from all indications, what Sean Payton said in that press conference, what Mickey Loomis has said on Sirius XM radio last week, this deal is going to get done. It's just a matter of, is it $20 million? Is it 21? Is it 19? How much guaranteed money? What's the length? That's what's being debated right now. This deal is going to get done. But for the Saints to continue success after this Drew Brees era, which is quickly approaching its end, they've got to have extremely, extremely shrewd salary cap management, which in the last 3 years they have been. Remember all the trouble, salary cap trouble that they got in 4 or 5 years ago? There's a lot of it. Well, they led the league in dead money because they had to cut these guys, I think, for four straight years. You don't want to go back to those days. You don't want to go back to those days. And in fact, they've never really paid a receiver that kind of money, whether it was Marcus Colston or Brandon Cooks they traded in before he was up for a contract renewal, whoever it was, in the Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis era. I hope they don't regret this decision, and I understand why it looks like they're going to do it. Like I said, it's a lose-lose for them. But in my mind, I'm telling you, if I was running any NFL franchise, and this is just the brutal reality of this industry, I don't care if it's the Saints, the Patriots, the Falcons, the Cowboys, whoever it is across the league, if I'm running any NFL franchise, I'm not paying a receiver that much. This position, and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for the guys who play the position, just like it was unfortunate for the guys who played the running back position for so long. The running back position has become so devalued, it's a surprise when running backs are even drafted in the first round anymore, especially in the top half of the first round. And it's shocking if a running back gets anywhere over $10 million a year. I mean, people still think this Le'Veon Bell contract, and I'm one of them. I think it's a huge mistake what they're paying Le'Veon Bell, especially since he sat out a year. We'll see what happens here. But I want to know what you think. I think I know what most of you are going to say. Like, most of you are like, sign this guy. That's what I've seen. That's what I've seen on the text line. That's what I've seen on our calls. That's what I've seen on social media. Got to sign him. Don't care what it costs. He's too good. He's a saint. We love the guy. But you tell me. We'll open up the phone lines now. 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. And our text line is 870-870. I'm Seth Dunlap in for Bobby and Christian. Mark Menard's behind the glass, and it's Sports Talk on WWL. Now, I got a text that I just disagree with that just came in a couple of seconds ago from the 504. Teams that have won the Super Bowl may not have had the highest paid receiver on their team, but they do have a top five receiver on their team. Who's the top five receiver on the New England Patriots roster? Mark, who's the top five receiver? Have we seen a top five receiver on the Patriots roster win and they won a Super Bowl ever, period?
Are they counting Rob Gronkowski?
He wasn't a top five receiver last year.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Was he? I mean, I don't think he was.
I'd have to look.
Anyway, I don't think – definitely wasn't.
Definitely a top five tight end, though.
Yeah, sure. Top five tight end. Money's different, though, at the tight end position.
Yeah. The other top receiver they have would be Julian Edelman, I guess. But he's not a top five guy.
No, I don't even think he's a top 15 guy, in my opinion. But, you know, you got people in Boston saying, Edelman for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, of course. Some
craziness like that.
Well, they want the whole team in the Hall of Fame, like now. Know. They don't want to wait.
I mean, look, you win that many Super Bowls, maybe they should be. Let's go to the phone lines here. Joshua in Gretna. You want to talk a little Michael Thomas. What's going on?
Oh, yeah, my man. I want to say, like, I agree, but I disagree because I feel like, yeah, he's worth the contract because he's young, he's talented. Like, we haven't seen a rare breed like this since Joe Horn and Marcus Colston or the speed of Devery Henderson or the hands or anything. Like, we have great receivers that come and then they go or either we ship them off. But I also disagree on the contract. We shouldn't give him 20 mil. Don't get me wrong. I say 15, 14 mil. I don't want us to be in the era of cap space. But I feel like he's worth the money because the way he performs on the field, even how he carries himself off the field.
No, and Joshua, here's where I agree with you. Again, from Michael Thomas's perspective, I get it. He should want $20 million a year plus. He should want to be the highest paid receiver in the league because he's been incredibly productive. My argument isn't that Michael Thomas, he might not be worth it in a truly free and open market. He would be. Every penny of it, probably a lot more. But this isn't a free and open market. This is a salary capped league. Look at the top 10 receivers in the league last year. Top 10 highest paid receivers in the league last year. Only three of them made the playoffs. Top three receivers weren't even really close to the playoffs, other than Antonio Brown. Odell Beckham, no. Mike Evans, no. Adam Thielen made it. Jarvis Landry didn't. AJ Green, nope. Devontae Adams, nope. Julio Jones, uh-uh. Got an issue there. Here's a text from the 225. Hey, Seth, I love Michael Thomas, but I totally agree with you. What you were saying, the position is just too dependent on others. And it is. I also want to mention again, in case you're just joining us, I don't think Michael Thomas's production is, you know, just a product of Drew Brees. Drew Brees has helped him, but I think Thomas has helped Drew Brees the last few years, maybe as much as Brees has helped him. Here's a text from the 985. Man, you're way off on this one. Don't understand this is their time to win the Super Bowl while Brees is still around the next couple of years. I think you just say this bleep to get an audience. You can't really think this, right? No, I don't say things on the radio. I know I'm not on this time slot a lot, but if you listen to my show at night, I don't say things on the radio that I don't believe. And I've been passionate about this one. I've written about it a lot. I've talked about it a lot. I'm not paying a receiver 10% of the salary cap, period. Let's go to Rick and Harvey. Rick, welcome to the show.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can, Rick.
Yeah, I just hope Michael Thomas will be reasonable. It's because those players got overpaid. You know, I hope he loves the team enough where he just says, hey, let's go get a Super Bowl. And I know money means a lot, but I just hope he's reasonable, you know, and he works for the team because, yeah, we want to keep him, but, you know, at what cost?
Yeah, well, that's it, Rick. And you were breaking up there a little bit, but thanks for the call. And in this is what I am curious about in Michael Thomas. I'd love to get him, you know, completely off the record and just have a conversation with him about life and his desires. Because remember, he's not from here. Went to Ohio State. I think he likes the Saints. But the reports are he wants $22 million a year. That's what just came out. I don't think he's given this team a hometown discount. And I don't really know that he should. Somebody's going to give him $20 million a year. Somebody gave Odell Beckham $18.5 million a year. We should want that. One more here. Derek and Bell Chase. Welcome to the show. Derek, we're going to put you on hold. Derek, got to turn down the radio. Chuck B. in Mid-City. Chuck B., welcome to the show.
Hey, man, how's it going, bro?
I'm good.
Here's my thought about, you know, top five wide receivers. Just listening in, I kind of caught the comment. You look at James Harden, right? Mm-hmm. It's not about, because you can be a top five receiver with just reception yards. But you look at the Super Bowl, and when it was clutch time in that drive, the same guy kept coming up, right, with clutch catch after clutch catch in clutch situations every time. That's the difference. It's not so much about a top five whatever. I don't care what position. It's about who's clutch for you and delivers for you when it matters the most. That's why we have Drew Brees, because he's clutch.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, sure, Chuck. And if you're referencing Julian Edelman there, just for reference, and look, he is clutch. There's no doubt about that. You know how much Julian Edelman makes? $7.5 million a year. I think the Patriots got a deal on that one. Hang on if you're on hold. More of your calls. Talking Michael Thomas, first CBS, and then Don Ames in the WWL newsroom. Seth Dunlap on Sports Talk. And our phone number is 504-260-1870. Text line 870-870. We're talking Michael Thomas contract, as that's kind of the hot issue here, is we're a month away exactly from Saints training camp. Remember, next hour, 5 to 6, we got Mike Dettillier coming in for a full hour to break down the roster, talk about Michael Thomas, and Manning Passing Academy happens this weekend. Here's a text from the 281. Guys, if Drew Brees wasn't the QB, he wouldn't be able to ask for that money. He may be the number one wide receiver now, but with a different QB, he's not in that position. Therefore, he's not worth that amount. Well, I don't agree with that at all. I mean, Michael Thomas is the number one receiver, regardless of who you put at quarterback. He's that talented. And I said it last segment. I'll say it again. He's made Drew better the last few years, just like Drew's made him better. Just have. Let's go to the phone lines again. Bob on the North Shore. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Seth. It's hard to get into this conversation and not think of Jerry Rice, San Francisco 49ers, Super Bowls, and everything that they did to the Saints when they were in their prime. And, I mean, whether Michael Thomas is able to do that or not, it's hard to turn away from making a deal with him in order to hopefully have a run like that.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, Bob. But remember, Jerry Wyatt Rice, most of his career was pre-salary cap era. And also, when they won those Super Bowl in the 90s, he actually wasn't the highest paid receiver. Wasn't even close to the highest paid receiver then. So it doesn't – like I said, I want to be very clear here, everybody. I think Michael Thomas, in my mind – if he's not the best receiver in the game, he's right behind DeAndre Hopkins. And I would actually lean, and look, I'm biased, I would lean Michael Thomas. But I could see, and I hear this a lot, people think DeAndre Hopkins is. I get it. If it's not Hopkins, it's Michael Thomas. I'm not debating Michael Thomas's talent. I don't think anybody really can, except for maybe that texter a minute ago from the 281. It's just about what you pay him. Text from the 504, this man sells tickets and prime TV time. He does, but let's be honest here. The Saints are going to sell tickets, and the Saints are going to draw massive audiences, regardless of who they have at receiver, at least right now. Here's a text from the 504. I love the guy, but no more than 19.1 mil, and to me, that's too much, 3 exclamation points. 22 mil is sounding like all the other greedy, crybaby wide receivers. It's just a negotiating play. Mark Menard and I were just talking about this, Mark, and you're right. He's not going to stay at $22 million. That was his opening salvo, opening offer.
Yeah, I think any negotiation, you always start higher than what you think you're going to get, because that way you got some wiggle room to come down a little bit, whereas if you start at the number you really want and you come down, now you're left unhappy.
Yeah. Where do you fall on this, Mark?
You know, I think it's a bad move when you don't reward historical greatness. And what we've seen out of Michael Thomas the first three seasons has been something we've never seen in the NFL before in terms of his production as a guy in his first 3 years in the league.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing is, you can't say, well, anybody could do this with Drew Brees, because anybody didn't do this with Drew Brees until Michael Thomas got here. So that's an invalid argument to me, because we've had receivers here, sure, that put up numbers, but nobody has put up the numbers that Michael Thomas has put up with Drew Brees. And I think that speaks to the point that he could do this pretty much anywhere he went, as long as he had a decent quarterback that could get him the ball.
Yeah, you hit on something here that I've always agreed with, and this is why that I'm not going to be on the air, you know, when they sign this deal. I'll mention what I've talked about. This is my position, and I believe this until I see, you know, one of these receivers win a championship. I think, you know, the precedent has been set. But paying your guys, rewarding your guys on your team that have been good teammates, that have produced in any organization, whether that's a football team, again, football team, radio station, Salesforce, wherever it is, I think that matters, right? I think that really matters.
I think it does. I think it's bad for morale when you have guys who have put in the work and put up the numbers, and then you don't reward them for that production, and you let them walk somewhere else. Well, then it bleeds over to everybody else in the locker room that, well, they're not going to reward me either.
Yep, and I will just point out what happened up in Seattle. Seattle had all of these Hall of Fame guys. Now, it was on defense, not offense, but they all came up for contract within a year of each other. In Seattle, that thought there, well, they wanted to reward their guys. They wanted to pay their guys. They went with this, you know, Seahawks super team strategy that I had debates about with many people here and my buddies in the media. Will it work? Will it not work? I thought maybe it would work. It did not work. It backfired. Backfired. They didn't make a Super Bowl again after their two. In fact, they didn't get past the divisional rounds again. They haven't even made it back to the NFC Championship game again. And now they're in kind of this, I don't want to say perpetual rebuild, but they're certainly not the Seahawks of old. So that's where you get, do you reward your guys? Sure, but it could come back to bite you. Let's go to Sherman on the North Shore. Welcome into the show, Sherman.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I just would make a point that if you're going to have that much of your salary cap space on a wide receiver, do you leave enough to build the rest of your team? I think if you look back at the top 10 paid receivers in the league for the last 5 years or so, you're not going to find any that played in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's exactly my point, Sherman. Although I will say, remember Julio Jones, he played in the Super Bowl. He was the highest paid receiver that year. Of course, everybody here in New Orleans pretty happy that he didn't win that Super Bowl, 28-3. A text from the 504, this is a capitalist society, man. It is a capitalist society. This is not a capitalist league. This is a socialist league that has a hard salary cap. You cannot compare the two. If this was an uncapped league, if this was Major League Baseball, Michael Thomas would go out there and he'd get way more than $22 million a year. Somebody would pay that guy, and in NFL money, they pay that guy probably $25, $30 million a year with all the money that this league makes. We'll see what the salary cap happens in this new CBA, which will be interesting. Maybe they go, I know there's discussions, maybe they go to a soft cap, kind of a luxury tax like the NBA does. But right now, that's not it. My argument is about the salary cap. And to the last caller, I agree. If you're looking at about 11% of the salary cap, 12% of the salary cap, if you're talking $20 million plus for Michael Thomas, they're going to do it. I'm not arguing everything to do it or not. They're going to do it. Just arguing the shrewd business acumen of doing that. But we have much smarter men running that franchise than me. 504-260-1870. That's the phone number. Our text line is 870-870. We'll be back. I'm Seth Dunlap. This is Sports Talk on WWL. Welcome back to the show. We're talking Michael Thomas contract negotiations. Those are front and center for the Saints. Certainly seems like the Saints are ready to pay him, maybe not $22 million a year, but something close to that. Here's a text at 870-870 from the 504. $22 million is way too much. If that happens, Kamara's going to ask $16 million. Lattimore, $15 million. We just can't give that much to him. He needs Drew more than Drew needs him. I don't know if that's necessarily true anymore. I mean, I guess that's a debate that's for another show. But Mark, you just said something very similar off the air, that if the Saints set the precedent, and it certainly seems like they're going to, they make Michael Thomas the highest paid receiver in the league. And there's debate. We think he's the best receiver in the league here, right? But you go outside the New Orleans area, and most analysts would say he's the third, fourth, fifth best receiver. What happens when Alvin Kamara comes up, right? What happens when Marshon Lattimore comes up? You're going to make them the highest paid guys in the league? Maybe.
Well, and you got Ryan Ramczyk. They've drafted very well here in recent years, and they've got guys who have really produced at a high level at a young age. And you have to imagine they're only going to get better from the point that they're at, you know, right now, because they're all entering like year two or year three, year four, in Mike's case, of their careers. Their prime hasn't even hit yet. And so if you're going to keep all these guys, then you're going to have to talk to them and say, you know, well, we can't make all of you guys the highest paid player in the league because, as you said earlier, there's a salary cap. It's not even up to us if we want to pay you guys a certain amount more than everybody else, because they're going to have some hard choices to make if they start, you know, doling out this much money to everybody. I think maybe you can play on Mike's, you know, team loyalty a little bit, play on his, you know, team sensibilities and say, look, if you want all these teammates to hang around and keep this team as great as it is, we might need you to come down off that number a little bit and take a little bit. I think you can still make him the highest paid receiver, maybe by increments and not by millions of dollars. But I think, you know, $22 million, I don't think that's what he's going to get.
Yeah, I really don't. I agree. I think it's going to be closer to $20 million. I actually think it's going to be right around $20 million a year. I do think that $20 million a year is going to look really juicy to an agent to be the first guy. And I think, well, actually, Calvin Johnson, there's a couple of years he made $20 million a year, but it wasn't an average. So I think the average being $20 million a year, I think an agent, Michael Thomas, is going to be, well, maybe I want that. I want to be the first guy to break that threshold. Here's a text from the 504. So what about Drew Brees' salary? This can't be selective to the player. Well, I'm not being selected to the player. And in fact, Drew Brees, now the 11th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. The 11th, $25 million. Derek Carr, Matt Stafford, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, all paid more than Drew. Back to the phone lines. We'll go to Mike on the North Shore. Mike, welcome to the show.
No, thank you. This is one of the best shows I think you ever had. I really enjoyed it.
Hey, appreciate it.
But this Thomas fellow, I mean, he's a broken down running back. It's the same guy I'm thinking of. I know he won us the Super Bowl. They talk about loyalty. Why give Pierre Thomas this kind of money? I mean, he's not even proven. If he comes back, what about knees? I don't even think Pierre's in football right now, Mr. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the same guy.
No, he's not. Yeah. No.
What do you mean?
Well, Pierre Thomas isn't in football. Is that what you're asking?
Well, I tuned in late. I heard Thomas and
Michael Thomas. Michael, we're talking Michael Thomas, Mike. But I think I got your point there. Your point was valid in the first half. You were just talking about the wrong guy. Let's go to Steve on the North Shore. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? Great conversation going here. So we got to look at it in perspective. So really, the Saints have got an over amount of talent for less money because of the rookie contract. Over the last 3 years.
Sure.
And got a great return on that. Now, you know, if you pay him as the highest paid receiver, and it's a 4 or 5 year contract, by the third year, he'll probably be down in the 10, 11, 12 highest paid by then. And then they're increasing the salary cap almost every year. So, to put it in perspective, you know, you take a hit the first year or two, but then by the third, fourth, fifth year, it's a great deal.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and this is a good point, Steve, because this new CBA, you're going to have a restructuring of the salary cap, and like I said before, there's going to be major conversations about maybe we don't even have a hard cap in the NFL anymore, or a massive increase, maybe go to a luxury tax system. We don't know what it's going to look like. We just don't. And when Drew Brees comes off the books, you're going to be paying a lot less, at least initially, for your next quarterback, whether that's Teddy Bridgewater or Taysom Hill or whoever it is. So you will have a little more money to pay these guys. How about Wayne and Kenner? Wayne, welcome to the show.
How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Oh, the guy was talking about paying the wide receivers over $20 million a year. But this guy deserves his money, man. But what about these quarterbacks that didn't make the playoffs and making way over $20 million? You had 8 of them did not make the playoff. You know why? Because you can't pay the people to play with them to win games. That's why.
Oh, baby. This is wheelhouse. Wayne, I want to just say, and I'll let you continue here, you are in my wheelhouse. You're in lockstep here because I also think quarterback contracts have become really inflated. And you look at the teams that are making the Super Bowls or winning Super Bowls the last handful of years, 6, 7 years, they're all, for the most part, they've got manageable quarterback contracts, right? They don't have, they're not paying these guys $30 million, $25 million a year.
Right. These guys make a whole lot of money. These guys make all this money, man, and they're not even making the playoffs because they can't afford to pay nobody else.
Yeah, Wayne, it's a great point, and I've done shows on that too. And this is where the business side, you've got to be, and this sounds a little nasty, but you've got to be ruthless. If you're running an organization, if you're in the front office of one of these organizations in the NFL, I don't really envy, maybe I envy their salary, you know, I don't envy their position when they have to go into these contract negotiations and tell somebody such as, you know, Michael Thomas, when a guy that talented that, well, you know, we can't pay you, sorry, because we're up against the cap. We don't think it benefits us long term. And we can hate the Patriots. We can despise the Patriots. You can say, I hate the Patriots. I'm tired of them winning. Cheaters, whatever else you want to say. We hear it all the time here. But the one thing that they do better than anybody else, and the number one reason that they have won six Super Bowls in the last decade and a half, is their salary cap management. They are more ruthless than anybody else in the league when it comes to cutting ties with people that they think are going to cost them too much, are not going to be worth that with their production on the field, and they think they can find similar production, maybe not to that level, but similar production for a lot less money elsewhere. Loyalty does not matter to the New England Patriots. And I will just ask you, would you rather be a loyal franchise with one Super Bowl, or would you rather be a disloyal franchise with six Super Bowls? You tell me. 504-260-1870. Our text line's 870-870. Sports Talk continues on WWL. Seth Dunlap here on Sports Talk. We're talking Michael Thomas contract. And would you pay him $20 million plus a year? That's our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll at WWL.com. It's closer than I expected. I thought that a vast majority of the audience would be not in lockstep with me. 65% of you are saying pay him. 35% are saying, oh, hold on here, maybe not. Cash your vote at WWL.com and the Radio.com app. Another phone call really quickly. Willie, just about 30 seconds, Willie.
Oh, hi. How y'all doing?
I'm good.
This is for the show. Very good, you know, talk. But I say pay him because you already started paying Drew Brees. Everybody should have thought about that. It takes 11 men on a team. Every job is important. The blockers for Drew Brees, the receivers. So why everybody just can't get paid?
Yeah, well, they can't get paid because it's a salary cap. I understand your point. I think it's a good point. And I guess that goes to what I've been talking about in that 10% of the salary cap to Michael Thomas, another 15% of the salary cap to your quarterback. You're not going to have the depth across the roster to be consistently competitive for many years. We'll continue to talk about this next hour. Mike Dettelier will join us for the entire hour. Also, right now, we're going live on Facebook, WWL Radio Facebook page, to discuss this more. Join us there.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.